at sea was by Creative Hubbub. If the question was, what is the best spell for turning a book of poetry into a frog, then the one thing they would not do was look in any book with a title like Major Amphibian Spells in a Literary Environment, a comparison. That would somehow be cheating. They would argue about it instead, standing around a blackboard, seizing the chalk from one another and rubbing out bits of what the current chalk holder was writing before he'd finished the other end of the sentence. Somehow, though, it all seemed to work. Now, something stood in the centre of the hall. It looked, to the arts-educated patrician, like a big magnifying glass surrounded by rubbish.
"Technically, my lord, an omniscope can see anywhere," said Arch-Chancellor Ridcully, who was head of all known wizardry. That is, all those wizards who knew Arch-Chancellor Ridcully and were prepared to be led.
"Anywhere. Remarkable," said the patrician.
"Anywhere and any time,"
Ridcully went on, apparently not impressed himself. "How extremely useful."
"Yes, everyone says that," said Ridcully, kicking the floor morosely. "The trouble is, because the blasted thing can see everywhere, it's practically impossible to get it to see anywhere, at least anywhere worth seeing. And you'd be amazed at how many places there are in the universe. And times, too."
20 past 1, for example, said the patrician.
"Among others, indeed. Would you care to have a look, my lord?"
Lord Veterinary advanced cautiously and peered into the big round glass. He frowned. "All I can see is what's on the other side of it," he said.
"Ah, that's because it's set to here and now, sir,"
said a young wizard who was still adjusting the device.
"Oh, I see," said the patrician. "We have these at the palace, in fact. We call them windows."
"Well, if I do this," said the wizard, and did something to the rim of the glass, "it looks the other way."
Lord Veterinary looked into his own face.
"And these we call mirrors," he said, as if explaining to a child.
I think not, sir," said the wizard. "It takes a moment to realise what you're seeing. It helps if you hold up your hand."
Lord Veterinary gave him a severe look, but essayed a little wave.
"Oh, how curious. What is your name, young man?"
"Ponder Stibbons, sir. The new head of inadvisably applied magic, sir. You see, sir, the trick isn't to build an omniscope, because, after all, that's just a development of the old-fashioned crystal ball. It's to get it to see what you want. It's like tuning a string, and if..."
"Sorry, what applied magic?" said the patrician.
Inadvisably, sir,"
said Ponder smoothly, as if hoping that he could avoid the problem by driving straight through it.
"Anyway, I think we can get it to the right area, sir. The power drain is considerable. We may have to sacrifice another gerbil."
The wizards began to gather around the device.
"Can you see into the future?" said Lord Veterinary.
In theory, yes, sir," said Ponder. "But that would be highly, inadvisable, you see, because initial studies would indicate that the fact of observation would collapse the waveform in phase space."
Not a muscle moved on the patrician's face.
"Pardon me, I'm a little out of date on faculty staff," he said. "Are you the one who has to take dried frog pills?"
No, sir, that's the bursar, sir," said Ponder. "He has to have them because he's insane, sir."
"Ah," said Lord Veterinary,
and now he did have an expression. It was that of a man resolutely refraining from saying what was on his mind.
"What Mr. Stibbons means, my lord," said the Arch-Chancellor, "is that there are billions and billions of futures that sort of exist, do you see? They're all the possible shapes of the future. But apparently the first one you actually look at is the one that becomes the future. It might not be the one you'd like. Apparently it's all to do with the uncertainty principle."
"And that is?"
I'm not sure. Mr. Stibbons is the one who knows about that sort of thing.